Thanks for listening to this Arrow FM podcast, shared on accessmedia.nz with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Hello and welcome Friday afternoon, 1pm. Here you are on Arrow FM 92.7 with me, Abby, on Help, my little show Help. That I do every week, unless I'm not here, then it's a repeat, so I don't want to lie. But it is still with me in some ways. So here we are, another week. Interesting temperature outside. I felt like it was a little bit muggy. I dressed up nice and warm because sometimes the walk from the car to the studio is a bit cool. And now I'm comfortable. I'm not hot, but I'm comfortable. And it's not cold outside. So if you've been inside all day, today's a good day to go outside and do something. Although rain is kind of pitter-pattering down a little bit. So if you're not into the wet feeling, I saw a video the other day where actress Drew Barrymore loved it. She went outside and she just had the time of her life in the rain and told everyone something about enjoying life and spinning around in the rain. So she enjoys rain. Anyway, carrying on. So this is where I chat about life, particularly focusing on as parent, because that's my world. And what were the things that I would have loved to have listened to or talked about or known more about before I got into situations? And I think that will probably be something that happens for the rest of my life, is wishing I knew this before it happened. And so really just creating a space to talk and think about things and have guests on the show who can talk and share their viewpoints and learn a few new things together. And by no means am I a professional. I just have thoughts and opinions and I read what other people write and then leave it up to you to decide what you want to believe about the information out there. So anyway, you can also follow me on Facebook. If you're into that, there is an Instagram as well. Just makes posting a lot easier. And on there, I'll post up like links. Today, I put up the links from last week's show, some places that I looked at for research around expectations. So that's on there if you want that stuff. You can also just listen to the shows from our webpage. And you can go back on other ones. So, yeah. And I put up my Spotify list. So if there's any songs on here that you enjoy listening to and you've heard and you think, oh, I'd love to hear that, you can just jump on there and have a look. I leave all the songs up there. And it's great for days like today where I couldn't really decide whether I wanted to find new music or make a list. And I thought, you know what, today I'm just going to have my list there and I'm going to look at a song and I'm going to play it. And that's what we're going to do today. So let's do that. Let's start with a song, get into the mood. I always love starting with a song. And we're going to go with one of my new favourites until I play it too many times and I'm sick of it. It is Temptation by Tiwa Savage and Sam Smith.
If you do me nice, if you do me right, I'ma give you everything you like. strong. I'll buy dear, leaning closer to you, baby. Even though I know it's wrong, I just give it to the shape of your body replays in my mind. The sound of your promises echoing me deep inside. Crave your attention, it compliments my pride.
All fired up with nowhere to go.
Welcome back. That was, what was it? Temptation. That was Temptation. So, welcome back. Nice to have you with me here today. So, last week I was chatting about expectations and I was talking, I just got like a whole, just got a whole bit of research from a couple of different places around different thoughts, I guess, around expectations. Now, why did I choose this topic? I chose it because, I guess it's something that I've been thinking about in my own life and family and children and person and relationships. I think I said last week some of my biggest struggles is that I tend to have really high expectation on myself, which is not helpful and doesn't really achieve much. So I said that this week I'd kind of talk about my conclusion to the conversation of last week, reading the information, what other people think. So I had a few weeks ago, I had my friend Amy on here and we were chatting about expectations and we had looked up a few quotes. And I found in the quotes, I guess depending on the perspective, maybe it also would have helped if I had the whole context of what that quote came out of. Some of them are conflicting, some of them are different. Like some quotes talk about expectation being really high, you'll achieve well. And others said that expect nothing and you won't be disappointed. So again, I can see that if you had the context of the conversation that that quote came out of, that it might actually make a little bit more sense. Anyway, what was my conclusion in the end? I wrote a couple of notes here so I didn't forget about it. From what I read last week, Dr. Caroline Leaf and another doctor, I can't remember the name off the top of my head, they basically said that, you know, expectations certainly have a place. This is me paraphrasing. Certainly have a place in life. They're there. Okay. So I think even if you had no expectation, you probably still have an expectation. It's just very low. Expectations are there. Sometimes it's us mirroring what we expect or how we see ourselves or how we see things should be done onto others, something like that. And I don't know if it's one of those things of should we have expectations. I think it's the thing is we do. We do have expectation. When we order food, we expect it to be cooked properly. When we stay at a hotel, we expect it to be clean. So expectations is just part of life, isn't it? It's, you know, I probably should have written down what they had explained expectations as because some of them had some good explanations there and I didn't write it down for today. Might find it in the next song and I can read it out if I want to. But what did I learn from the research for my own self and going forward as a parent, as an individual, is that expectations need to be realistic. And what do those realistic expectations look like? And they had some great lists of realistic and unrealistic expectations in relationship and with parenting. And I think when I was processing that this week, what would be realistic expectations on on me is, you know, and how I parent, that I'm, you know, I'm providing for the kids, I'm loving them, I'm teaching them, you know, I don't have to have everything done, a house doesn't have to be perfect, you know, don't have to tick all the boxes, and just figuring out what that looks like. And I was going to talk, I think, a little bit when I look at my notes. I was going to talk a little bit later of expectations of family. So anyway, they need to be realistic. And the other thing that kept coming through was communication, the importance of having communication working hand in hand with your expectations, particularly in your relationships. Are you talking to your partner? Are you talking to your friends or your family about what your expectations are? Because I think through the communication, you learn that, oh, sometimes I might have the wrong expectation, or that person might have the wrong expectation, and how do we adjust that going forward? And I know in my marriage that when I talk to my Michael about my expectations on things, it's really helpful for him because he knows what I'm thinking. But we can also work through if whether I'm expecting too much or too little, or, you know, etc. So communicating with the people in your world what your expectations are, but then also having this openness to hear back from them the impact that expectation might have, or what their expectation of you. How many times can you say expectation in a sentence? I'm glad that I'm going to move on from this today, because I think I'm tired of saying the word expectation. And then the other point that I kind of made here in my concluding thoughts was that we lead our children. And if we can learn as healthy adults what healthy expectations are on self and on others and environments, then, you know, we can then model that to our kids, and we can teach our children, so then they can grow up being healthy people with healthy expectations. So that, I think, is quite important. If we can master that in our own life, then hopefully our kids can master it even a little bit better than us, really. And I think the open communication I find now when I talk to the kids, instead of kind of just saying, just do it because I said and I'm your parent, but you're talking through, well, you know, this is my expectation, or this is what I would like to happen. And then, you know, they can talk through some of their expectations, because my kids are at an age now where they actually have their own. They have their own thoughts of how they want things to go. And sometimes that's the battle, because I'm so used to having babies and toddlers around that kind of just go with whatever I say. Here are these little people who have their own expectations, and they get disappointed, and they need to have a voice in the home. So they need to be able to communicate what they're thinking and feeling as well. And I think what I've learned is, as I've communicated to them a little bit better in a healthy way, they've heard me better, and they've tried to, you know, help in different ways. So that's kind of really, that's my conclusion of the thoughts of all the information talked about. It's always easier said than done, talking about having realistic expectations. It's hard when your expectations haven't been met and you've ended up disappointed or hurt or angry. And I think that's when there's some internal adjusting that has to happen towards other people, because you can't force people to live by your expectation. I think and it doesn't mean anything less of a person, I think, as well. If, you know, if Michael doesn't, if he can't meet an expectation that I have, what's one? Let me think of one. Can I think of one? I bet you if I wasn't on the show, I could think of one straight away. And if he's listening, he's probably like, yeah, I can think of one. Okay, I have an expectation that Michael should just be able to see all the dirty things of the house that I see. And then when he sees it, he should just clean it so that I don't have to. You know, I think all of you listening to that can hear that that's not a very realistic expectation. And when I talk to him about it, he's like, it's not that I don't care and I don't want to help. It's just that I actually just don't see the things like that, like you do. So I'm talking about the minute stuff, like where all the fly poo is, or the fact that the window the aluminium window ledges need cleaning because they've got a little bit of, you know, mold build up and, you know, just the little stuff like that. And he's like, I just don't see it. But what he does see is that some washing needs to get put away or that needs to get vacuumed, or he's really great. He cleans the bathroom for me. I know, now that I'm sharing this, it sounds like I do nothing and he does the housework. No, it's not like that. It's shared. We have shared tasks that we support each other in. But there is this expectation that he should be able to see the house the way I do. And so I've learnt to drop that expectation. There's no point of having that. It's not helpful. And it's even not realistic on myself as well to constantly be looking at the world that way. But what is the family, what is the expectation between us is that we work together as a team to fulfill the responsibilities of the house. And so that's a much better way of looking at it. And it just takes the pressure off him, pressure off me, pressure off the kids. And then we can start working together as a family. We put a chore chart in because normally the kids, they've just started getting some chores to help us out with. And, we had tried the kind of, here's your job for the week, and you do that. But Zany, our middle, he was not coping with that. He's like, it's not fair that I have to do this one job every day of the week, and no one else has to do that job, it's just me. And so I thought, well, you know, I can see what he's saying. And so we picked, I think, six jobs in total. Might be four jobs, six jobs. And then we just, you know, designated each day a different child, and it goes down like that. So they all get to do something different each day, and it's worked so much better. Because for Zane, he doesn't feel like every day he has to do the same job, that every day it's different, and he's worked out that. So the job that he didn't like doing was unstacking the dishwasher. And so he's worked out that the week that he's on unstacking, he actually only has to do it on a Wednesday because of the way that it rotates. So he's stoked about that one. But what we did is we wanted to see if the kids noticed. We put what were the jobs? There was feed the cats, unstack the dishwasher, stack the dishwasher, set the table, clear the table, and then Mike and I chucked on there, relax and have a coffee. And so we did the actual chore jobs. We had kind of rotated each day a child. And then in the same colouring system, we added us in there trying to be sneaky. I don't know how I thought I was being sneaky, but we both had a really good giggle about that because it just rotates mum and dad having coffees and relaxing. And it was funny when the kids saw it. I think Zane was like, how come, you know, we have to do all the jobs and you guys just get to relax and do nothing? As if that's all it took to run a house. And so, anyway, I share that because it was funny. But the kids laughed, but I think they were just like, oh, mum and dad jokes. And they think they're so funny. We thought we were funny. Anyway, let's move on to another song. What am I going to choose? It's like one of those like little rolly ball things, like what are those wheels that you spin? Spin a wheel and see what song lands on it. Okay, I could do that. I spin my mouse wheel and see where it stops. And it stopping at, with a little bit of help from me, do you know what? It stopped at watermelon sugar. There was a little bit of help from me there. Anyway, do you know what? Actually, if we're going to do Harry Styles, I'm going to do this one up here. So how goes that spinning wheel for you? As It Was by Harry Styles. That's what I'm going to chuck on for you right now.
Come on, Harry, we want to say goodnight to you.
Holding me back, gravity's holding me back. I want you to hold out the palm of your hand. Why don't we leave it at that? Nothing to say, and everything gets in the way.
right. That's Harry Styles as it was. I think I would definitely love to go to one of Harry Styles' live concerts. If I ever remember that there are tickets that go on sale for any live concert, I don't know if it's just me or if being in Masterton, I tend to just not be aware of what comes into New Zealand and miss out. And people are like, oh, this concert was awesome. I'm like, that would have been really cool to go to. But if I ever was to watch Harry Styles, I would love to. Would it be a dream one that's all I would wait for? No. Who would be some other people I'd enjoy is Ed Sheeran. I'd love to watch a Pink concert. That would be really cool. I think Katy Perry's concerts would be quite fun. I like the concerts that have all the performance as well. But then I have heard, I'm pretty sure it was my sister-in-law went to Ed Sheeran's concert one year, and she loved it because, you know, it wasn't all about the big lights and displays and the show, I guess, but it was his talent and, you know, simple, beautiful, great talent. So he would be also someone I'd really love to go and watch. I know Michael would love to go and watch him too. So one day, maybe. It's just like Michael has a dream that he would love to go to England and watch a live Manchester United game. What would be really cool is if we could go to England sometime and watch a live Manchester United versus Liverpool game, and Liverpool won. And that's not very kind for my husband. So his dad is English, and they've always supported Manchester United. Even though that's not where his family comes from, don't quite understand it, but that's their team. Although Michael's grandfather, he supported Arsenal. So if any of you are into football, there's a little bit of information there for you. I knew nothing about any of this. All I knew before marrying Michael was that there was this guy called David Beckham who married Posh Spice, and he played football for Manchester United. That was the extent of my football knowledge. But now he has given me a little bit more. He plays football here locally, and how long have we been together? 12 years? 13 years? And I still cannot tell you one single rule. I can tell you one rule. You're not allowed to touch the ball with your hands unless you're the goalkeeper and you're saving the ball. That's the only rule I know. I cannot tell you anything else. Sorry, Michael. I need to be schooled. I try to watch his games. Actually, this year, I think I've only been to two, I say it as if he can answer me. But I'm hoping we can get back there. It's not an easy task when you've got little children with you to go and watch your husband play football. I go down with the kids, and I spend the whole time just, you know, talking to the kids, watching the kids, and trying to watch Michael at the same time. And then often when I'm looking away or dealing with the kids, or, you know, Lucy wants to show me something, that's when Michael scores a goal and I always miss it. So anyway, the boys have played this year. It's been really fun. I've watched a few of their games and they've been getting into it, and Mike's coach, so that's a whole new experience. Oh, that's right. He supports Manchester United, and of course I never supported anyone. And then when I was doing my whakapapa and my ancestry, my English ancestors come from close to Liverpool. So I thought, you know what, makes sense to support Liverpool. So that's what I do, and it sounds like they're doing better than Manchester United this year. I could be wrong, but that's what I heard. Cool. I wanted to share a whakatauki. I have this book that I've shared before. One of my favourites. It's called Aroha by Dr. Hinemoa Elder. And she's put together this beautiful book. It's been out for a while now. I wonder if it's got the date in here of when it was printed. But it's been out for a while now. And you can get it pretty much in any bookshop in New Zealand. It's cool. She's got all these whakatokis in there, and she also has like a little write up with each one about what that means for her. And she is, because she's a doctor and a psychiatrist. So today's one that I really wanted to share, I thought it really did tie in with the theme of expectations. I'm going to share it, and I'm going to share her thoughts around this whakatauki, and then I think you will, from listening, understand maybe where I'm going with this. All right, so Te Reo Māori is new to me. I'm a beginner trying to learn the language. The dream is that I will be fluent one day before I die. So it's the little things, practicing, getting confidence. I think that's my biggest hurdle is confidence. Confidence to use language out beyond my four walls. So doing it on a radio is a really good way of building up confidence. So he kuaka, mā rangaranga, ko tahi manu e, tau ki te tahuna, tau atu. The flock of godwits have swooped up into the air, one lands on the sandbank and the others follow. Leaders and followers work together. It has two matahina here, and I'm pretty sure that is... Oh, yep, she says it right here. Okay, so these are Dr. Henimoa's words here. One of my famous ancestors, Tu Matahina, coined this whakatauki many generations ago. It came to him as he was leading one of our tribes away from the threat of invaders. He instructed the group to walk in his footsteps on the beach so that the enemy would think there was only one person walking that way. Luckily, he had really big feet. Tu Matahina used the saying to illustrate that following his lead was important. He used the kuaka, the godwit, a familiar example from nature, to show effective human leadership can work like birds. When one bird comes down to alight on the sandbank, it is safe and timely for others to follow. The picture he painted captivated the people and they followed his lead to safety. The kuaka is one of our tribal kaitiaki, or guardians. The bird is sacred to us, so important that it is enshrined in our deed of settlement with the crown. Our ancestors were exquisite observers of the mannerisms and cultures of these incredible creatures. One of our tohunga experts told me that kuaka take a small stone from the beach at Pāringaringa, their home in Te Tai Tokerau, the far north of Aotearoa. They keep the stone in their gullet, and this provides them with a navigational tool to find their way back home from the other side of the world. When they fly, the older birds mentor the younger ones. Every so often, younger birds are swapped into the lead positions of the flock to learn. For me, this whakatauki is very much about the importance of relationships and teams, groups and families, and how essential it is that everyone within that communal gathering shares the same values and has mutual respect for each other. This is easy to say, but in fact, really hard in practice. We lead by example, like the birds. It is the activity of flight that demonstrates the commitment to survival. At the same time, we are mere flawed humans, and so we can only aspire to the clarity of vision of the kuaka. We say to our kids, this is a work in progress. We are working to restore our language to safety, and more than that, to have Te Reo Māori embraced in all aspects of life. And it is not surprising that this commitment is hard for many people to stick to, no matter what. And then she's got a little bit more, and then she finishes... and her finishing one is, aroha is a value at the core of my identity as Māori. Aroha is not the same as romantic love, although it can manifest as that. It has many facets. It is an unstoppable force, a fierce advocate, a never-ending wellspring of creative energy and care for others. It is about seeing the good in people and acknowledging that people are trying their best. It is selfless, and it is about nurturing the self. This is aroha, not constrained by logic. It just is. An eternal, mysterious force that we all yearn for, only to discover it was within us all along. So that's the whakatauki that I wanted to share with you today. And when I'm going to chuck on another song when I get back, I'm going to talk about why I chose that one and how I think it fits in with some of the stuff we have been discussing. So here we go. Scrolling with my little wheel ball. I'll do it for reals this time. Okay, and we've landed on Days Like This by Dermot Kennedy. I can't remember this one. All right, let's listen.
When it's not always raining, there'll be days like this. When there's no one complaining, there'll be days like this. When everything falls into place, like the flick of a switch. Well, my mama told me, there'll be days like this. When you don't need to worry, there'll be days like this. When no one's in a hurry, there'll be days like this. When you don't get betrayed by that old Judas kiss. Well, my mama told me, there'll be days like this. When you don't need an answer, there'll be days like this. When you don't meet a chancer, there'll be days like this. When all the parts of the puzzle start to look like they fit you. Oh, I must remember, there'll be days like this. When everyone is up front and they're not playing tricks yet. When you don't have no freeloaders out to get their kicks in. When it's nobody's business the way that you want to live. I just have to remember, there'll be days like this. When no one steps on my dreams, there'll be days like this. When people understand what I mean, there'll be days like this. When you ring out the changes of how everything is. Oh, my mama told me, there'll be days like this. Oh, my mama told me, there'll be days like this. Oh, my mama told me, there'll be days like this.
Ah, some good advice there from, what was his name again? Dermot Kennedy's mum there. There'll be days like this. I think that's a really good thing to remember, actually. There are days, some good, some bad. There's always days like that. Okay. Oh, that's right. I was talking about the Funkatoki and I was talking about, oh, that's right. I wanted to share why I thought it kind of fitted in, with what we're talking about. And it was to do with, I wrote my notes here, the leading by example, which I talked about before. You know, I just love the lessons that we can gain from the world around us. You know, for them, the kuaka, the bird, learning from them how they can lead within their community. And I think that, so I just loved some of her thoughts there around having a mutual understanding. I think that's really important, but it, like she said, it is a lot easier said than it is done. So in your whānau, in your family, what's the mutual understanding there? What's the mutual expectations there for the team to work together? I love to talk on aroha and being able to accept people for who they are. You know, there is the other topic of boundaries. You know, some people require some boundaries. There are some relationships that need boundaries, because we've got to keep ourselves safe and healthy. However, you can still have boundaries in relationships and show aroha and show love and respect people for who they are and see the good in them. Seeing the good and, just remembering there's when we're mum and dad, we're leaders. We're leaders of our kids, but also our kids can lead us. And that's something I've certainly learned more and more. The older the kids are getting, the amount of times that they don't even realize they are leading me sometimes in my thoughts or my perceptions and challenging me in my thinking and, or just the advice that might pop out sometimes and you think, man, that's such good advice. I must have told them that. So just mutual respect and understanding for each other. And I wrote a couple of things down when I was thinking about that, like, what are expectations of family for me is that we have an honest home. We're honest with each other. We tell the truth regardless. And so how do I, as a parent, foster an environment where my kids feel safe to share their truth or share what's happened? And so we had a situation, not a situation, we were having a conversation with our youngest the other, was it last week? I think it was last week. And he was saying how he got in trouble at school, his teacher told him off. And then I said, oh, why? Why did your teacher tell you off? He said, oh, because my friend said the F word. And I was like, oh, okay. And then I was like, why did she tell you off if your friend did it? And he goes, oh, well, you know, it was him. He did it. I didn't do it. And I was like, this doesn't make sense. I know who his teacher is. She wouldn't be telling him off if he hadn't done something. And so I was like, oh, look, buddy, you know, just tell me what happened. Like, it doesn't make sense that the teacher would tell you off if it was your friend who did it. And I said, did she tell your friend off? She goes, and he said, no, he didn't. So I said, well, I don't know if you're telling me the full story here. Like, tell me, why don't you tell me the full story? Tell me what happened. And he kind of just looked at me and then he said a story again. I said, look, I'm not going to tell you off. Okay. You're not in trouble with me. I want you to be able to tell me what happened. It sounds like your teacher's already dealt with it and has already talked to you about it. And I just want to know what happened because it's obviously left you feeling upset. And, so he kind of looked at me and he said, oh, I said it. And she told me off. I don't actually know, even now, which story is true. I figured we haven't heard from the teacher, so it's not a big deal. And maybe if it was, you know, but I just said to him, oh, you know, is it, you know, do you think using that language at school with your friends or with anyone is something you want to do? And he said no. And I said, oh, well, what have you learnt from this experience? And he said that I can't say the F word at school, and my friend can't either. So, you know, there's a lesson there, and it was a funny situation because, yeah, like I said, I don't know what's true. Did it happen? Did it not happen? But it was that look on his face when he thought, oh, I can't tell mum what's happening because she's going to tell me off. And I think I fostered that fear a little bit because in the past, when they've done something, I've kind of jumped very quick to an emotional response with them and been like, oh, why did you do that for? And then tell them off or time out or whatever. And so I think for me, there's a little bit of an undoing for them where they can trust me that they can tell me things and I'll talk it through with them, which is quite a different way of parenting to what I've done before, but it's what Michael and I have chosen to move into doing now that they're older and they're wanting to talk more. And, you know, again, this is easier said than done. And then sometimes they've just got to listen. So fostering an honest home where we can honestly tell each other. I think what I have found helpful in that is that I've admitted to the kids when I've made not the best choice. A couple of weeks ago, unfortunately, same child, it was just last week. I don't know what was going on in his world, but there was a lot of anger and it was coming out at me, screaming and yelling and punching and kicking. And it's unusual. He's not normally like that. Not something that I've ever had to deal with him before. Not to that level. Like, we've had it, you know, when he was toddler. But anyway, where was I going with that? I've just had a mind blank. We were talking. Oh, he was having a go. And I just broke, lost my cool, lost my temper. And I just yelled at him, stop it. And it was not a nice moment. He got upset. I got upset. The other two got upset. But I went to him once everyone had calmed down and I just said, hey, I was wrong. I was wrong to yell at you. And I think that's what I found has been really helpful, being able to humble myself to my kids and apologize when I've stepped out of line. And then from there, talk about what we can do to move forward. Yes, and that ties right into the next point of healthy communication, what we talked about before, talking things through, having an openness. And I think I put down here as well, like, mistakes happen, especially I have to tell myself that as a parent, like, you make mistakes, Abby, it's okay. Michael makes mistakes. It's okay. Mistakes happen. And that's something I've started to say to the kids now, like, you know, we all make mistakes. It's okay. We can make mistakes as long as we learn from it and we grow from it. We take responsibility. We ask for forgiveness, and then we can work together to be healthier and happier. And, you know, so that's kind of, yeah, it's okay to make mistakes. As a parent, it is okay to make mistakes. We don't know what we're doing. We're doing our best every single day. So just don't have this expectation that we have to have it all together all the time and know exactly how to deal with situations. And just forgiveness. Let forgiveness be an expectation of your home. Forgive each other. Don't hold grudges. It's not helpful for you or anyone. So, and again, it's all easier said than done, but it's worth knowing what those mutual expectations are so that you can work to those common goals together. Yeah, I was going to share another story, but I keep having mind blanks, so it will come back again if I'm to share it. Yeah, so that's kind of my conclusion on the thoughts around expectations in your home, expectations of you as a parent and in your relationships. Take what you want from that. Take whatever information you want. Oh, that's what I was going to talk about. I'll do that when I come back. And decide what you want for your family. Go and have a read through some of the links and just check in with yourself. How are my expectations doing? Am I realistic? Am I unrealistic? Do I need to change here? Do we need to have a conversation? And if this is a topic that you kind of can't get your head around, then go and find someone to talk to who understands it. That's where, you know, counselors and psychologists and doctors and stuff, you know, they've done some education in this, so go and have a chat with them. Okay, so let's get this mouse wheel going again and pick another song. What's it going to be? Okay, we have got Live For You, the acoustic version by Snake Ships, and I can't read from there, Jess Glynn. I can't remember this one either. Okay, here we go, Live For You.
You call, baby, I run. I don't need to know what you're doing. See you holding that gun. I don't need to know. They come running for you, but I know it ain't true. Swear I'll cover for you. They don't need to know. All the things that I'm thinking of, baby, don't need to say. You already know. It's crazy. Let's jump on a plane or just run, baby. You don't have to do it alone. Whoa, oh, 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 I love you. I could be your ears and eyes for you. Oh, I do time for you. And even if I couldn't, I'd try for you. Oh, you got me. And I know this. When you're losing, I know this. I'd love for you. And even if I shouldn't, I'd love for you. That time, I fell to my knees. Yeah, you covered for me. Just when they were coming for me, you didn't let me go. We made more than a promise. We drenched ourselves in honesty. Never let go regardless. That is all I know. All the things that I'm thinking of lately, don't need to say, you already know. It's crazy. Let's jump on a plane or just run, baby. You don't have to do it alone. Whoa, oh, I love you. I could be your ears and eyes for you. Oh, I'd do time for you. And even if I couldn't, I'd try for you. Oh, you got me. And I know this. When you're losing, I notice. I'd love for you, and even if it shouldn't, I'd love for you. Darling, are you home? Cause boy, your dress are closed. I was coming round to check that it was sound. Darling, are you home? Cause boy, your dress are closed. I was coming round just to let you know.
And even if I couldn't, I'd love you. Oh, you got me, and I know this. When you're losing, I know this. I love you. And even if I shouldn't, I love you. Oh, I love you. Oh, I could be your ears and eyes for you. Oh, I do time for you. And even if I shouldn't, I trust in you. You got me, and I know this. When you're losing, I know this. I love you. And even if I shouldn't, I lie for you.
Okay, and that was A Lie for You. I do remember that song now. As soon as it started playing, I was like, oh, I know that one. What I was going to share before was I was going to talk about the last, oh, not this week, last week, I think, and the week before. Oh, my word, Troy, my beloved Troy, my sweet Troy. He's such a good boy, but man alive, we had a couple of weeks of just, he was the one who was just raging. And I didn't know why. Was it testosterone boost? Is he going through a growth spurt? Is it just part of 5 and a half development age? Was it that something had changed at school, which found out something had, and that could have impacted it as well? Oh, but my word. It was very hard to maintain a level of patience when you have your five-year-old just throwing all this stuff at you. But I had this great idea from a girl who lives with my brother and my sister-in-law in Palmy, and she shared with me, have you seen these things called the peaceful corner or an emotional corner? And I had actually heard of it before. I've got other people in my world who have set stuff up like that in their homes. And so I had a look into it, and I guess it's kind of like another version of timeout, but more from a positive perspective rather than being a punishment. It can become a place in the home where they can kind of go to if they know that they need just some timeout, or it doesn't even have to be negative. Like, it could be that they're introverted and they just want a little bit of time to themselves, and they can just go chill out in that spot, read a book, whatever. So I set up a little space in our house, some a chair, and it's got some fidget toys. And I've, over the last year or so, I've collected a few different books around emotions, and I'm borrowing two really cool ones at the moment. I will find out who the author is. One's called Aroha and one's called Let It Go. Great, great books. And so we just set it all up there. Kmart have some really cool resources for learning about emotions and how to communicate and talk and the kind of fun interactive things. So I got one of those, and I might go back and get another couple of them later on. So just set up in the little cubby, this little supply space. And I've found online, again, the name slipped my mind, but it's like this map thing you pull out. It looks like a roller coaster, and it has different names of different emotions at different points on the, there's three roller coasters, and you can kind of track along and be like, oh, what have I felt today? Man, what a roller coaster I've been on. I think that's what you're supposed to do. So anyway, set that all up there, and he loves it. He goes there. We're still, he will go there and he'll be like, I'm in the peaceful corner, like really angry. And then he'll throw a book at me and be like, read me this book. So, I mean, we're working on it. We're working on it. At least he's going to the corner and recognizing that that is a safe space that he can go and just feel what he needs to feel and be what he needs to be. And then I can go and sit down there and talk to him. And it's worked really good for me, as well as it has for the kids, because when they're there, I know that maybe they want someone to talk to, and I can kind of just check in, and if it's that they just want some time out by themselves, then that's all good. But with Troy, it's often sitting there reading through an emotions book, and so he can identify what he's feeling. And what I found through doing this, so what I'm seeing is rage or anger, but when he calms and we read the book, I think there was three different times where it was three different emotions. One was he was feeling sad, and I was like, are you sure you're feeling sad? And he's like, no, I'm feeling sad. And I said, why are you feeling sad? I'm feeling sad because, I can't remember what it was now, but for example's sake, Dad took the ice cream off me because I punched Zane. I think it was something like that. But anyway, that's example, you know, it'd be something like that. So he's felt sad from the consequence of what he's done. And he also feels sad that he actually did something that hurt his brother. And so we talked that through, which was interesting. And then the other time was he felt embarrassed. And what was the other one? Tired. I'm tired. And I thought it was really interesting, me taking the time to just read through one of these emotions books with him, and he was identifying what he was feeling. But even though the behavior presented as anger, the initial root problem or cause, it was not a problem, it's an emotion. Emotion was different to what I expected. So it's how I get him to not go into anger zone, I don't know. Figured that one out yet. I've just figured out how to get through all of that to what the actual issue is, and then we can talk about it, which is a great first step, I think. So it's led me to think about, I would really love to have some time talking about raising boys. Our eldest is a girl, and I don't find that nearly as challenging in some aspects because I am a girl. And my girl is different to my boys. I don't know, because I've only got one girl, so it's not like I've got two girls and I'm like, oh yeah, this is, you know. I've got a few nieces, and when I talk to my siblings and their wives about different things that are going on at different ages, I'm like, oh okay, that must be just a common girl thing to do. But my brother here and his wife, they've got three girls, and then my other brother and his wife in over the hill, over the Palmy, have got two girls and one boy, and he's younger. He is the youngest out of the bunch. So it's I also find I don't necessarily have not a measure, but like a comparison close to me to see like, oh okay, this is boy stuff. But when I was chatting to some of the ladies at the coffee morning yesterday, one of them said to me, hey, talk to Michael, you know, he's a man, talk to him. I was like, that's a good idea, I should talk to my husband about it. So we did last night, we had a chat. I thought I'd really like to do that. I'd like to, you know, get some people on who've raised boys and have gone through that, and we can have a chat and get some wisdom and advice there, and maybe some peeps who are like me and have boys a similar age, and, you know, just talk about raising boys. How do we as mums and dads make sure that we are creating an environment that is going to help our young men flourish in who they want to be? Because both my boys are very different to each other. Zane, they're both quite sensitive, but in different ways. Troy's very sensitive in the fact of not wanting to upset people, and he gets very embarrassed if he's done the wrong thing or if he's upset someone. He's very much about making sure people are proud of him. And Zane is, he's just, you know, one of those old souls. He's so sweet and such a thinker, and he's sensitive as well, but it's in a different way. But then there's this boisterousness about them, and, you know, body parts, and I don't know. It's just a whole different world for me, and because they're like primary age now, some of the things that come out, I'm like, huh. So anyway, we'll do that. We'll get someone on here who can help me at least with raising boys. And, you know, I love it. I love having boys. I love what they bring into my life. I love how just, you know, much they want their mummy and their hugs, for now anyway, at least. And, you know, they're such a joy to have. And, of course, girls, they bring so much else that's different as well. So we're going to do that. We're going to chat about boys. Chat about how do we talk to them about emotions in a way that's a language that they understand. See if we can get some tips. But do you know what? Looking at the time, that is pretty much us for today. You know, it's nearly 1 o'clock. Keep looking at those pictures out there, and it's still looking cloudy, looking like it might have rained. And I do believe that we are in for wet weather all weekend, so make sure that you are warm and safe, and I don't know what else you can do with rain. Hopefully you're not in an area that floods. If you are, there's plenty of support out there if you need help, so, you know, don't hesitate to ask for help. But hopefully we will not have any major flooding like we're seeing in Nelson at the moment. But anyway, I'm rambling. Have a great weekend. Thank you all for hanging out with me once again, and I will see you next week here. And if you are someone who's raised boys and would love to chat about that, then yeah, flick me a message and we'll have you on the show. Otherwise, I might just go and scope out a few people. All right. See you later. Keep safe, and we will see you next week.